morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. The time is 9:03 a.m. on January 30th, 2012. With me today is Senator Olson, Senator Thomas, and Senator Egan, and myself, Senator Stedman. We'll be a couple members late today due to weather conditions and other issues going on in Anchorage. We have three bills on the agenda this morning. Senate Bill 9, Raise Compulsory School Age Attendance. Senate Bill 137, Suicide Awareness Prevention and Training. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 2, Uniform Rules, Presiding Officer Pro Tem. First bill up, Senate Bill 9 by Senator Davis to raise the compulsory school attendance age. This is the first hearing on this bill. My intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and then set the bill aside for further review. With us today, we have representation from Senator Davis's office. If he can come forward, please. You can introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and tell us what this bill does, please.
Good morning, Senator and members of the committee. I'm Tom Obermeyer, staff to Senator Betty Davis. The first bill before you from her office today is Senate Bill 9, an act relating to compulsory school attendance age and relating to the crime of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. If I might, I would like to read the sponsor statement. This bill changes the Alaska compulsory school attendance ages from 7 to 16 to 6 to 18. At the same time, it necessarily amends the criminal statute of contributing to the delinquency of a minor from the maximum age 16 to age 18. The legislative intent of this bill is to require all students to start school earlier when their brains are growing and developing at a dramatic rate from birth to age 7, and stay in school long enough to graduate. This bill allows earlier identification of children with learning disabilities and more time to take successful corrective action. This bill will not preclude parents from homeschooling children or using charter or alternative schools or any of the 12 enumerated exceptions to the compulsory education under Alaska Statute 1430.010B, including completion of grade 12 or graduation from a secondary school before age 18. The Alaska compulsory school age statute is out of date with modern educational practice and thinking. The law has not changed since territorial days when few children attended school beyond eighth grade or bothered to graduate because most jobs did not require much education. The majority of Alaskan students today are already in school by age 6 and many by the minimum age 5. Head Start and pre-kindergarten programs are growing in popularity. The state has already funding a pilot pre-kindergarten program, and SB 6 this year, sponsored by Senator Davis, proposes funding such a program statewide. In 1852, Massachusetts became the first state to pass compulsory school attendance laws, and by 1918, all states required children to receive an education. Today, every state and territory requires children to enroll in public or private education or to be homeschooled. 32 states require students to begin their education by the age 6 or 5 and remain in school until 16 or older. 24 states and American Samoa set the minimum age of 6, and 8 states and the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands set the minimum at age 5. All children are required to continue their education into their high school years, with now 21 states setting the compulsory cutoff age at age 18. 11 at age 17, and 18 states, including Alaska and the Virgin Islands, at 16. By increasing school attendance age to age 18, this bill would discourage earlier dropouts and reduce juvenile crime, teen pregnancy, and other at-risk behaviors. Studies have found that students without a diploma earn less than 75% of those with a diploma. They are more likely to live in poverty, go to jail, and have health problems. The Alaska Department of Education and Early Development reported in 2010, and the numbers are somewhat similar in 2011, 8,245 students, or 67.7% graduation rate. Right now, it's just slightly over 8,000 with exactly 68% graduation rate in 2011. The graduation rate of Alaska Native students was 55.4%, a group which experienced twice the dropout rates of all students. These rates remain well below the national average. The National Education Association's first priority in its 12-point program 2 years ago was to mandate high school graduation or equivalently as compulsory for everyone below the age 21. Its statement, which I thought was most important, it says, just as we established compulsory attendance to the age of 16 or 17 at the beginning of the 20th century, it is appropriate and critical to eradicate the idea of dropping out before achieving a diploma. To compete in the 21st century, all our citizens, at minimum, need a high school education. Opponents to increasing compulsory school age who are concerned about forcing students to be in the classroom against their will argue that these students may become disruptive and require more time and expense on behavioral and truancy problems. This bill, however, is directed at more than just seat time. It becomes part of a larger plan to motivate rather than to punish or ignore students. It aims to help students stay in school long enough to graduate and go to college or better paying jobs. Students will want to come to school, stay in school, and graduate if academic problems are identified early and they are helped long before they drop out. For those students who want to work or are not as academically inclined, school districts are encouraged to continue accredited alternative schools and work-study programs to help students earn credits toward a diploma if they must work at the same time. Coupled with early efforts to retain, train, and graduate, this bill can bring hope and success to thousands of Alaskan students who otherwise might not stay in school long enough to graduate and develop to the best of their potential. I might also add, and you probably noticed, that the President in the last week and his address to the nation included, and it's in your hearing package, the issue of raising the dropout age. Significant facts are in this document that was delivered to the committee, and I will note on the second page that a research scientist, Robert Banfass at Johns Hopkins University, reported that increasing the compulsory school age from 2002 to 2008 with six states, two of them, Illinois and South Dakota, experienced increases in their graduation rates, and only one, Nevada, had a decline. It's symbolically important to raise the age to 18, but not the magical thing in itself, he said. Most policy experts warn that to prevent dropout, schools need a broad range of supports as far back as the middle grades. And according to an expert that we've had testify before us here from the Commission of the States, Jennifer Dunay Zenith, this is the last paragraph, she said there's a whole array of reasons students drop out: teen pregnancy, financial problems, detachment from the school environment, boredom, feeling the curriculum has no relevance in the real world. Schools need to intervene quickly if there are warning signs. The effort here that I think you'll probably hear from testimony is that this is just about one part of trying to increase our graduation rates and educate our kids toward the 21st century. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I would note that Senator Davis has arrived, and she may have additional comments at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
If you could introduce yourself for the record, please.
Yes, I will. I'm Senator Betty Davis, and I'm the Senator for East Anchorage, and I'm glad that you're bringing this bill forward. I know that many of you have heard this bill before. I know it's not the all answer for everything, but it is an improvement to have our youngsters be able to stay in school until they're 18 rather than them being able to go against their parents' wishes and drop out of school at 16. We know what kind of the problem that's starts, and we know that when you don't have a high school diploma, you have a real disadvantage. But more of them are going to prison, more of them are involved with unemployment, and this particular bill could help that. It does not say that you have to wait till you're 18 to graduate. If you graduated at age 15, you may leave the system. You would not have to stay there. And that was a concern of a lot of parents. They thought you were saying that kids had to stay in school until they were 18, even though they might have the amount of credits that they need to graduate. And I want to make sure that that's quite understood, that that's not what this bill does. And thank you very much for hearing this bill in a timely manner. And I'll just wait to hear the testimony.
Do we have any initial questions from the committee? Senator Thomas.
Somewhat of a question as well as a statement, I guess. Certainly the thank you, Mr. Chairman. Certainly the issue of the upper end is a question, and I see that most of the justification for states having the age of 16 or thereabouts, somewhere between 16 and 18, generally the lower end 16, is related to work, and with the changing nature of jobs in the United States and around the world, and the necessity of a better education or a good education to fulfill those newer type jobs, I think some of that explanation or justification has dropped away. And certainly in the state of Alaska, we don't do a lot of farming anyhow, much less at that time of the year when people would be in school. But also in the bill, it lowers the age to mandatory age to 6, which I think, with all of the new information that we have received on brain structure and building, that's extremely important to address that end of that other end of the equation as well. So I appreciate that, and just was curious if you had any comments regarding the justification that is used in the 19 or so other states, which are mostly farming states or have a fair amount of farming. Any comments regarding that? I know you did some, but I don't know if you did any more statistical end of it.
Senator Davis, do you have any additive comments you'd like to make?
I really don't have any information on those 19 states that you were talking about, but it's easy to acquire. But we know that the states that have adopted this feel that it has been helpful to them. And I know that you're one of the ones in particular that was interested in lowering the beginning ages. We were trying to bring it from 7 to 5. We settled with the 6, and it is in the bill here. It would bring the requirement for kids to go to school to age 6 and not 7. And I think that's a change, because most 95% of our children are already going to kindergarten at age 5. So this really wouldn't be a significant change. It's just changes on the book so that there would not be those parents that might be negligent in getting their children in school, that they would be breaking the law if they didn't come to school at age 5, at age 6.
Thank you.
Any other initial questions, bill sponsor? Seeing none, we have one fiscal note from the Department of Education and Early Development in the amount of $14,858,600 in general funds for the estimated increase in the foundation formula. We're now going to move on to the public testimony portion. We have one from the MATSU LIO, and I'd like you to go ahead and introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and speak to the bill, please, and try to keep your comments to around a couple minutes. Ms. Annie Kilkenny?
Kilkenny. Good morning. My name is Ann Kilkenny, and I am not an employee of the district or a teacher or anything. I just represent myself. I've been testifying on education bills since Senator Joe Thomas had hair. Mine's gotten gray in the process, and he's lost his. I support this bill. My son was an excellent student, but it shocked and distressed me greatly when he started talking about he doesn't need to go to school anymore because he was 16. You need to empower parents and give them resources they need to encourage their children to do what is in their best interest. However, I'm a little bit concerned about this because it does become somewhat unenforceable. Unless you're going to provide money for truancy officers or something, and that also bothers me because I'd rather see that money go to teachers rather than truancy officers. So I ask you about, because I don't belong to any organization, I'm allowed to think for myself, and I'm thinking, you know, a privilege of being an Alaskan as a PFD. And as a good citizen, we have responsibilities. And what are the responsibilities of children? Well, it's to prepare themselves to be productive citizens. And in order to do that, they need to go to school. I would suggest that you consider even tying the receipt of a PFD to attendance at school. And attendance could be verified or should be verified by performance of, for those in high school, this would be from grades 9 on up, that students would have to take the benchmark exam, show improvement on the benchmark exam, or take some other national exam like the PSAT, the SAT, or the ACT, and show improvement if they're homeschooled. Otherwise, you know, we can't just say you have to go to school, because there'll be an awful there will be a number of students who will claim that they are being homeschooled when they're doing nothing. And at least if they can show an improvement in test scores, we know something is happening. So I support this. I think it's a good idea. I think you should tie attendance to the PFD for high school students, and that attendance would be measured by improvement on nationalized test or statewide test scores. Does anyone have any questions for me?
Well, thank you for your testimony today. We have nobody in the room signed up to testify, and that took care of the sign-up sheet for out of the room, and also bring it, close the public hearing portion, bring it back to the committee. Do we have any questions for the bill sponsor? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Davis, thanks for bringing this bill forward. I think it's a has some real possibilities, but what are your thoughts on the last proposal that Ms. Kilkenny talked about tying school attendance to not just the PFD, but other extra-scholastic events like that, or the driver's license or something like that?
Actually, this bill wasn't designed for that, and if anybody wanted to do anything about saying you can't get a driver's license or whatever, I have no problem with that coming forward. But what she mentioned about having truant officers, we haven't had truant officers in this state for many, many years. As far as I know, there's only one school district, if they are even able to continue it, would be Juneau School District. They had some truant officers. But this bill would allow students to stay in school and give them opportunity to take some of the choices that we have. We have a lot of extra programs, choice programs that students can be involved in. If they're not interested in just going to the regular classes, we have vocational classes that can be taken. We have special language classes that are being out there offered to the kids. There's all kinds of things that the districts are doing. Various districts are providing new services to the kids. And when they find out what they have and find out that those things would be beneficial to help them get the skills that they need in order to get a job, many of them are interested in staying in school. And so I see this as a bill that we don't have to put any money in there to say that we're going to monitor them and make sure that they are in school. There's some responsibility that would go to parents, and I don't think that would be needed.
And what was the success of the truancy officer here in whatever school district it happened to be? Was it worth?
It was here in Juneau.
Was it worth having? Do you know?
They seemed to think at the time that they had it, and I'm not sure if they do now. I see the senator from this era saying no, they probably couldn't afford it. But when they had it, they thought it was beneficial to them because they could make calls on the students and get them back in school. But
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions for the bill sponsor? Any final comments from the bill sponsor before we set the bill aside?
No, I think we've brought out most of the things that we would like for you to know, and if there's other information that you need, we'd be happy to bring forward to you.
Okay, thank you, Senator Davis. We'll go ahead and set this bill aside for further review. This is the Senator Davis Day, by the way. Next up, Senate Bill 137 by Senator Davis regarding suicide prevention and awareness training. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. And we are joined by Senator Davis. And Senator Davis, if you could please introduce yourself for the record, who you represent.
Yes, once again, I'm Senator Betty Davis from Anchorage, and I represent the east side of Anchorage. I'm glad that this bill is coming forward to you in such a timely manner and that you're holding hearings on it today. I feel that this is a worthwhile piece of legislation that really needs to move forward, and hope that it will pass before the end of this session. This particular bill would allow training for teachers and other personnel that's in the school district to get suicide prevention training. We know what our suicidal rates are. We know that we need all the help that we can get, and this particular bill will help us train teachers in order to give them the support that they need to work with students within the school system. And with that, I'll let my aide give the overview.
Again, for the record, I'm Tom Obermeyer, aide to Senator Davis. The bill before you is Senate Bill 137, draft number 27, LS0094M is in Mike. It's an act requiring suicide awareness and prevention training for certain school personnel. This bill, short titled the Jason Flatt Act, requires mandatory youth suicide awareness and prevention training approved by the Commissioner, Department of Education and Early Development to each teacher, administrator, counselor, and specialist who is employed by a school district, regional education attendance area, or department each year for services to students in grades 7 through 12. Training is important because suicide is the third leading cause of death for ages 10 to 24 and the number one cause of death for Alaskans under the age of 50 years. Awareness and education are key to prevention. Tying suicide prevention efforts into teacher training has proved very helpful in other states in reducing teen suicides. Most young people contemplating suicide show clear warning signs prior to the attempt. It is imperative that educators know how to recognize signs of at-risk youth and are prepared to intervene when they identify a problem. Recognizing that Alaska has by far the highest rate of suicide per capita in the country, particularly among teens, young men, and Alaska Natives, the Alaska Mental Health Board and Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, in partnership with the Statewide Suicide Prevention Council, the Alaska Association of Student Governments, the University of Alaska, and the Jason Foundation, have established goals, training programs, and resources for teachers, coaches, and staff in suicide prevention. The Alaska Bureau of Vital Statistics 2000 through 2009 reported the following suicide facts and statistics: 21.8 suicides per 100,000 Alaskans versus 11.5 suicides nationwide, 56.1 suicides per 100,000 young men ages 15 to 24, and 141.6 for Native young men and 50.3 young women of the same age group. 1,369 suicides in 176 Alaskan communities between 2000 and 2009, or 11 per month, 2.6 per week. 78% of suicides were committed by men and 22% by women, who made twice as many but many more failed attempts. 90% of suicide victims experience depression or have diagnosable and treatable mental health or substance abuse disorders. The 2011 Youth Risk Behavior Survey revealed that in the last 12 months, 12.8% of Alaska high school students reported they seriously considered suicide, 8.7% actually attempted suicide one or more times, and 2.7% attempted suicide resulting in injury, poisoning, or overdose treated by a doctor or a nurse. Just as it takes a village to raise a child, it takes parents, teachers, mentors, and communities to support efforts to reduce suicides by developing environments of respect and connectedness among youth and adult role models. This will create in youth the needed hope, promise, and optimism to build healthy and appropriate relationships and behaviors. By requiring and making resources available for suicide prevention training for educators and school staff through this bill, the state can ensure that youth at risk of suicide are more likely to be identified and receive help. Alaska has many state agencies, nonprofits, citizens, healthcare providers, and policymakers working on this problem with the programs and materials. This bill is but one part of suicide prevention, which has proven successful in other states. The Jason Foundation, which was named after the tragic loss of the father's son to suicide, is made available to Alaska and a limited number of other states its library of suicide awareness and prevention training materials free of charge. Not only will this bill and community efforts reduce suicides, particularly among vulnerable youth, it will also reduce the number of self-inflicted injuries occasioned in over the 1,200 hospitalizations per year due to suicide attempts at a cost of $9,000 per case, excluding physicians and specialist fees, as researched and reported by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority in 2001 to 2002. The same research found 75% of the cost of Alaska suicide hospitalizations were paid through public funding sources, and 15% were written off as losses by hospitals. Suicides and attempted suicides have taken an incalculable toll on individuals and families in Alaska. The burden of this tragedy is shared by society as a whole. With all of our efforts, the numbers have not decreased much over the years. This bill, admittedly not a solution by itself, will help reduce the silent epidemic of youth suicide through educational and awareness programs that equip young people, educators, and parents with the tools and resources to help identify and assist at youth. You will note in your fiscal note that there is a note of $60,000, and it may be addressed by the department. They were supposed to be reviewing this, because some of the vendor fees might actually be eliminated through the use of the Jason Foundation materials. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay. Do you have any initial questions from the bill? We have one fiscal note from the Department of Education and Early Development for $60,000 for FY13 general funds to pay for the training course, and $5,000 in general funds in the out years to review and update the course. And but I'd ask the bill sponsors to maybe check with the mental health to see what kind of offsets mental health can bring forward to help us with these fiscal notes between now and the next time we bring the bill up. Just want to have these numbers double checked.
Mr. Chairman, also it's come to my attention that within the governor's budget there was some money put there that would help offset the cost for this program. And I thought somebody was going to be here to testify on that, and I think they had gotten with the Department of Education, and they were supposed to speak to that today. So I don't know if there's someone here to speak to it, but they feel that there's already money set aside, so therefore there would have to be any new money coming into this program. And I don't know what the department has to say on that, because when they spoke before the Education Committee, they said they wanted to set up mechanism where they would be able to gather the data and find out exactly who took the training. And if it's already appropriated, we don't need a fiscal note on this bill.
Okay. We're now going to go into the public testimony portion. We're going to go to the online portion, and we've got quite a list here, about 10 people or so. So what we're going to do, we're going to start with the off-net. I'd like everybody to introduce themselves for the record, who they represent. Speak to the bill, please. Keep your comments to within 2 minutes so we could stay on schedule would be appreciated. And then I won't have to end your comments short. Or first, we're going to start in Bethel with James Bila, please.
Good morning. My name is James Bila. I'm calling in support for Senate Bill 137 on behalf of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, the Alaska chapter. I'm employed with the Lower Kuskokwim School District as an itinerant school social worker. Presently, I'm assigned 5 villages across the district and work with families, students, and school personnel. The teachers and school employees are the main contacts for our students. Often, teachers will refer students for sudden changes in behavior if feel uninformed of the signs of suicide. It should be noted back in December 2010, an ASSIST training, which is Applied Suicide Skills Training, was completed in one particular school with teachers and students and community members. One teacher did not want to attend this particular training. However, within 24 hours after this training, the teacher was able to identify one student who was on the verge of committing suicide and contacted myself for assistance. We were able to secure immediate referral to YK Behavior Health. This student had his plan to commit suicide, and if it was not for the teacher with the skills he had just learned, this student could be deceased. The teacher now admits that this training was very valuable and was one of the best in-service trainings. We've done more assist trainings in other schools in our district, and we have 5 more requests in this district for this year before the end of May. The trainings are done at no cost to the district. Although we are currently using the ASSIST program, there are many more programs that can be done in less time. With the high rates of suicides in this area, more trainings for those who have consistent contact with the students will prevent further deaths. And finally, being the end of the month, today I was able to pull up my stats since August of 2011. a total of 79 students have been seen in those five villages I serve, with one attempt was made in a school setting. If it was not for the awareness of the teachers trained, there could have been more attempts and possibly completed suicides. I encourage you to pass Senate Bill 137, and I thank you for listening to my testimony today.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. We're now going to move on to Anchorage. Carol Waters, please.
My name is Carol Waters. I'm the Alaska Association of Student Governments Executive Director, and AASG for the past 3 years has been focusing upon helping teachers and students identify and help students who are at risk for suicide. 3 years ago at our executive board meeting, one of our executive board members reported that she was feeling very sad because she had lost a friend to suicide at her school, and she felt that there should have been warning signs that people picked up on, and she felt that she was concerned that there should be more services for students and for teachers to identify the signs of suicide. As a result of her sharing that information with the board, which is made up of all students across the state of Alaska, the board decided to put suicide prevention as our main focus of strategies and training for teachers and for students. 2 years ago, one of our board members revealed to the board that she, as a student, as a young person, by the age of 10, had experienced 6 suicides in her family and with her friends, and that she felt that it was time that we did something. And so we have continued our work as student leaders, and I as executive director, to help the state of Alaska begin to deal with the high rates of suicide for youth. The students passed a resolution 2 years ago asking that all teachers receive training in suicide prevention, and we're very pleased that Betty Davis put forth this bill to require teachers to have that training. One of the trainings the students did review and found very helpful was the Cognito at Risk, which is an online avatar program, and they are recommending that that be the program that be instituted, and it, and the governor's recent fiduciary note provided training for teachers using the Cognito program. It is a program that's offered to all teachers at a flat rate across the state, and the state pays the fee, and any teacher can access that program at no cost. I'm open to questions, and I think we have some other students who will be also sharing some information. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your testimony today. Next up, from Kluwak, Sony Anderson.
Good morning. My name is Sony Anderson, and I'm calling in on Senate Bill 137, also known as the Betty Davis Bill. I'm calling in on behalf of Sophie Clark, a junior at Kluwak High School in Kluwak, who was originally going to do this, and she's representing our Alaska Association of Student Government. She had a test change, so she's not able to do it, so I was asked to do this. I'm going to present it as she presented it to me. Sophie sits on the executive board of the Alaska Association of Student Government as vice president and was previously a parliamentarian. She also co-chairs the Suicide Prevention Committee along with Tessa Baldwin of Matt Exum High School in Sitka. In 2010, the fall, a resolution was written by Tessa Baldwin, Sophie Clark, and Jackie Tu. I would very quickly like to read over this resolution to you. It says, be it resolved by the Alaska Association of Student Government, whereas Alaska leads the nation in suicide rates, whereas teens tend to talk to their peers first rather than adults when considering suicide, whereas suicidal teens feel uncomfortable talking to their parents about suicide, and 86% of the parents of teens that committed suicide were unaware that their child was suicidal, whereas the majority of suicides in Alaska have been committed by people of the ages 16 to 22, whereas 90% of teens who die from suicide have a mental health problem, usually depression, substance abuse, or both, whereas nationwide more teens die of suicide than of AIDS, cancer, birth defects, stroke, pneumonia, influenza, and chronic lung disease combined. Whereas,
hey, put it on channel 15 and listen to me. Hello?
15. Sit down. Get down.
Three fatties. Ms. Sonia Anderson and Kowak, if she could finish up, please. We've had some difficulty with our phone system this morning.
Okay, thank you very much. I will go ahead and start with the fifth, number six. Whereas nationwide, more teens die of suicide than of AIDS, cancer, birth defect, stroke, pneumonia, influenza, and chronic lung disease combined. Whereas the signs of potential suicide can be subtle and hard to notice without proper training. Whereas after a suicide crisis, friends and family are at an increased risk of developing post-traumatic stress disorder, which may lead to a cluster of suicide. Whereas, Alaska provides a number of opportunities for suicide prevention trainings or events. Whereas, schools usually provide grief counseling immediately after suicide, but this tends to be eventually discontinued or dissipate. Whereas, being installed by the Alaska Association of Student Government at all high schools should provide suicide prevention training or awareness events. The Alaska Association of Student Government passed resolution number 10 unanimously. And we would like for you to support Senate Bill 137 and get our school personnel, all of them, trained so they would not have to leave their own communities, stay in their own schools, and yet have the training that's needed to help our kids. One life lost to suicide is one too many. One life saved that cannot be a monetary value put on it. But please, help us with the financing of Senate Bill 137. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Anderson. We're now going to move on to Clark Flatt, please. If you can identify yourself for the record, who you represent, and speak to the bill.
Yes, my name is Clark Flatt. I'm president and CEO of the Jason Foundation and the father of the young man the bill is named after, Jason Flatt. I'd like to testify for SB 137 and appreciate Senator Davis bringing it to Alaska. This bill has been passed in six other states. Five of those states have been has passed as we had suggested without a fiscal note, and the oldest one being since 2007. All of the five that passed it without a fiscal note still operate the Jason Flatt Act, the mandatory requirement for training teachers without that fiscal note. And I think it's due to be noted that the plan does work. Of course, we offer our online library. Last year, we trained a little over 150,000 teachers in a little over 13 states. So it's something that can be done without a fiscal note. But let me talk to the importance. The money is not the biggest thing here. We're talking about young people's lives. Just like some of the other people that have already testified, and I thank them all for their support, education is can reduce the rate of suicides within a community. It's been noted that from the national strategy that's been put forward to the Alaskan Suicide Prevention Plan, that education is a key to building the foundation for successful prevention. The Jason Foundation is proud to be working with the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention to roll this bill out in several states, and we're proud that Alaska is one of those. I would like to note that in Tennessee, the one that's had the longest running for the Jason Flatt Act, in 2010, the last report from the Department of Health showed that youth suicide rates had gone down 17% in 1 year, despite the fact that in all other age groups in the state of Tennessee, suicide rates continue to increase. As is noted, this is not the cure-all. It's not the one that's going to do everything, but I think it can go without any kind of discussion that in the state of Tennessee, 74,000 teachers are trained each and every year. Now we're seeing the results with lower suicide rates. I applaud Alaska's efforts the rates of suicide, especially that since we can do this training online and therefore with the remote geographic type of challenges that are unique to the Alaskan territory, and I was proud to be up there last fall and did it myself, that this can save lives. And I encourage you to pass Bill 137, and we'll be proud to work with many other nonprofits and fine agencies there to help provide this training. Thank you for this opportunity, and I will be online should there be any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Flatt. We'll go on now to Homer. Sharon Strutz-Norton. Strutz-Norton.
Hello, my name's Sharon Strutz-Norton, and my family's lived in Alaska for many generations. I'm a Nupik Eskimo descendant from the Nome and Barrow tribes. I'm a mother and a grandmother of 10. While I'm a member of the State Suicide Prevention Council, today I'm testifying as a concerned Alaskan, a family suicide survivor, and as the Alaska Board Secretary and Legislative Advocate for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention in Alaska. As well, I hold a degree in child and family psychiatric and mental health nurse practice. I reside in Homer, and I am in support of Senate Bill 137. This past November, when I held a workshop at the statewide school counselor conference, counselors discussed the need for school personnel to be provided suicide prevention education. Sadly, they shared many stories of youth attempting and too many completing the act of suicide, how each attempt and completion affected other students' ability to concentrate and learn from their studies, while grieving the loss of a friend or family member, with many suffering repeated annual losses. In the past, I had a booth on suicide awareness at the health fair in Homer. Several youth ranging from middle and high school ages shared stories of friends being stressed, anxious, or depressed for a variety of reasons and talking of suicide. Since that time, unfortunately, I've heard many times of youth attempting and completing the act of suicide in Homer and throughout the state of Alaska. The national strategies for suicide prevention specifically indicates teachers, school staff, and school health personnel as gatekeepers, individuals in a community who have face-to-face contact with large numbers of people in the community and are in a position to identify students at risk of suicide and refer them for appropriate treatment. Studies conclude that some prevention training models have demonstrated increases in confidence, knowledge, likelihood that they would approach a student perceived to be at risk, the ability to ask directly about suicide, to be persuasive about getting help, and to provide an appropriate referral. In conclusion, just a week ago, the U.S. Department of Health and Social Services at Heartbeat 2012 discussed research from the University of Washington studying 883 18 and 19-year-olds who had recently attempted suicide. Almost 40% said their first attempt was made before high school. The earliest age was 9, after which there was sharp increases in 6th grade, and the numbers continued to rise. The first attempt peaked at 8th and 9th grade. I appreciate your time, and I support Senate Bill 137.
Thank you for your testimony today. Go on down to Manotoc. Donna Bartman, please.
Good morning. This is Donna Bartman. I am the assistant principal at Manicouric Nunanik School and also a member of the Alaska Association of Student Government Steering Committee, an advisor to two students who serve on the ASOG Executive Board. And in addition to that, which you've heard already, I'd like to add just a couple of other things that I'm a lifelong Alaskan, proudly so. Been teaching now for almost 25 years, all within the state, around and about the state. And one of my fears initially, my first year of teaching, I was really young and really green, certainly, but was, you know, how will I cope? Should it ever happen to that one of the students that I taught committed suicide? I didn't have any training or preparation or in service, but it was kind of a hidden and silent fear of my own. And it was after my first year of teaching that one of the freshman boys that I had taught that year actually shot himself. So I didn't even have time to really address my fears before I was in the situation to cope with it. Additionally, in the years past, I've been directly affected by my immediate family. one of the members of my immediate family committing suicide, and one of the two students that I supervise on the executive board is also very directly affected by an immediate family member committing suicide in her recent past. One thing that I would say about the resolution that Sunny Anderson read, and I think it's important to point out that it was passed with unanimous consent at the larger of the yearly conferences that OSAG hosts. So it passed easily, but then they called for unanimous consent, and it was demonstrated by the body at that time, and I think that's a significant statement on behalf of the students. One frailty, perhaps, in the proposal that we're identifying and targeting seventh graders, but as I pay attention to the national news, the age, it's tending to get lower and lower, and younger people are considering and actually carrying through with suicide. So I think it's very pressing. It almost feels epidemic, and with kind of a historical perspective, that I live in a very traditional and work in a very traditional Yupik Eskimo community. My family heritage is also in Inupiaq, and one recurring point that's often brought up is that prior to contact, you know, it's something that within our culture wasn't necessarily addressed. And a lot of our elders whom we would normally turn to for advice really don't have a memory of having this as a problem. And I think looking at it in a historical perspective with the statistics, particularly for Native people and young Native males, I think it really is epidemic and that our response to it is crucial and necessary, and the sooner the better. Wishfully, we would have had something in place before my first year of teaching. I think it certainly would have helped me throughout my experience. Regarding the Cognito program that's been recommended, it is very user-friendly. I would testify to that, but I would also add that I have observed high school students and even eighth grade students with the program, and everybody has found it user-friendly and very workable. So it may be a good first step to take. And so I also have Theron Paul here, who is our student body president and a member of the OSAG executive board, and he has just a...
We're going to move on now to Anchorage. Anna Schack, if you could please keep your comments to 2 minutes, please. It's not fair to the other participants.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members.
Run too long, so if you can introduce
yourself. My name is Ann Schock, and I represent North Star Behavioral Health. We work with children and adolescents from throughout Alaska in need of acute behavioral health services and residential treatment. I also represent Alaska's first affiliate office of the Jason Foundation, which is dedicated to the prevention of youth suicide through education and awareness. With Alaska's youth suicide rates alarmingly high, we appreciate this opportunity to voice our support for this bill. School personnel are in a key position to identify at-risk youth and connect them with support. We look forward to being part of the efforts to equip educators and school personnel with the tools and resources to help identify and assist at-risk youth. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, please. We're going to jump now to Port Hyden. Madison Manning, please.
Hello, my name is Madison Manning. I'm calling in from Port Hyden. I am the student representative to the State Board of Education, the junior student representative, and I am also on the executive board for Alaska Association of Student Governments. And I would like to speak in support of this bill. In the spring of 2011, OSAG, the Alaska Association of Student Governments, unanimously passed the resolution asking for all teachers in Alaska to be trained in suicide prevention. The executive board has made suicide prevention one of our top priorities since then, and we have been joining efforts with the nonprofit organization Hope for Alaska, branching out to student governments around the state, trying to get this movement going. For many students, school is a safe place where they can get away from the troubles of home. And teachers have a special relationship with students where they can see the trouble signs where a student might be considering suicide. OSOG recommends the Cognito program for teachers. I have been able to take the program, and I find it very user-friendly. I was able to complete it in a short amount of time, and after completing it, I was able to see that it's not always the most obvious students that you would think would be considering suicide, and I strongly suggest that the board looks at it. I would just like to say that suicide is obviously a big problem, and that one suicide is more than should ever happen, and I would just like to voice my support for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony today, Madison. We're now going to jump to Ketchikan, Byron Charles, please.
Good morning. I'm in support of the Senate bill. I've spoken to Senator Davis, and I commend her on this bill, and I commend everybody that's on this bill. One of the biggest industries that we have here in Alaska is the tourist industry. I believe we can take advantage of this opportunity to allow to be a part of this growing industry for our future generation as well. Lack of employment during the winter months, as we all know, drops down considerably. Being part of this growing industry gives the young people an opportunity to share their skills, their language, to be a part of today's growing economic development. The tourist industry will continue to grow. We need to create a foundation for our future generation. This could be a really solid foundation for them as well, to be a part of this growing industry. The training part will also be a part of this suicide prevention program that's being introduced today. So let's consider the possibilities of adding this growing industry to be part of the educational tool as well for our future generation. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony today, Myron. That concludes the off-net and the LIOs. We'll come into the room. I think we'll start with Kate Burkhardt, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Kate Burkhardt, and I am the executive director of the Statewide Suicide Prevention Council, as well as the Alaska Mental Health Board and Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse. I preface my comments by stating that I'm here on behalf of those organizations and not on behalf of anyone else, especially the Department of Health and Social Services. You should have in your packet a letter of formal support from the Statewide Suicide Prevention Council. So I will use my time in response to Senator Davis's request that someone speak to the school-based suicide prevention increment in Governor Parnell's proposed operating budget. If you look for that increment, it is in the Statewide Suicide Prevention Council's line items, but it is not for the council. The intent is to support school-based suicide prevention in school districts. A portion of that, $35,000, is designed to support a pilot project with the Cognito suicide prevention training model that you heard the youth from the Alaska Association of Student Governments speak of. The intent is for a 3-year pilot to see if this particular model will be effective in Alaska. It is an evidence-based training model that has been reviewed and endorsed by the Suicide Prevention Resource Center, which is a national suicide prevention organization. It has been shown to increase teacher awareness, skills, and confidence in working with students at risk for suicide. The creators and proprietors, Cognito, have agreed to work with Alaska to tailor the product to our communities and are very eager to introduce a level of indigeneity to the program so that it will be relevant to teachers in our villages. So the increment that the senator spoke of, it's $450,000, $35,000 of which appears in a services line item for that pilot. The remainder would be transferred to the Department of Education and Early Development for a grant program to school districts so that school districts could implement programs like ASSIST that you heard Mr. Bila from LKSW speak of, as well as other evidence-based practices. I think it is important to emphasize that you've heard about several models available to school districts today. Some are at no cost, like the Jason Foundation products, as well as the Department of Health and Social Services Alaska Gatekeeper Program, which is a training designed and implemented here in Alaska, and it's offered at no cost. So it is possible for school districts, just with the services available now today, to comply with the mandate in SB 137 without incurring additional financial cost. And then there is that support in the governor's budget. The governor's made it a priority for offering this unique evidence-based program for our teachers as well. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Ms. Morris. Since you're here, you like to respond to questions, so I'd like to go ahead and have you help us with this bill a little bit, if you could make some comments, please. Do you especially deal with the fiscal issues, if you could?
For the record, Les Morse, Deputy Commissioner at the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development, and primarily I'm here to speak to the fiscal note. We put forward the fiscal note knowing that there were other options available, but felt that for the deliberative process that we should put this forward for a couple of reasons. We have several state-mandated trainings, and in every case, the department has developed what we call e-learning modules that are available for school districts to be able to conduct those trainings with. There's a one-time fee, obviously, to build the module, and then there's fees afterwards that are much less to continue to use those modules and update those, and that's what the fiscal note reflects. A couple of points about the fiscal note itself. The funding behind that would provide about $40,000 of that would be to build the e-learning module itself. The remaining amount of money would be to bring in expertise to vet the e-learning module and to bring in expertise to help build the e-learning module. The fees in the out years are for continued use of the module as well as updating the module so that it changes as we learn new information. We do know also that there are free tools available from the Jason Foundation. We just began reviewing those. We got the passwords to those this last Friday. I reviewed them this weekend, but all I can speak to is they certainly meet the length requirement, and there are at least four modules available right now that are there. You've heard about some other tools that are available. There may be reason to have multiple tools. This is a yearly requirement, and if you have a 20 or 30 year career, you're going to want to make sure that the modules you're looking at each year are not the same, but building on and being updated. The other benefit that the modules that the department hosts has is that we can track everyone who takes them, and that the school districts can use the tools that we have to make sure all their staff take the required training and are in compliance. Beyond that, I'll answer any other questions that you have regarding the fiscal note.
I think what we'll do is we'll give the bill sponsor some time to work on that issue between now and when we bring the bill back. I don't think there's a reason to really do it here today right now. We'll flush that issue out. Do we have any other questions for the Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to ask Mr. Morrison, thank you for coming up and addressing the fiscal note since we are the Finance Committee. Are there plans to go ahead and target certain school districts that have a higher disproportionate rate of suicides with either more training or to concentrate on those school districts with the money that's been requested?
The money that's in the fiscal note from the Department of Education would primarily build the training and make it available to everyone. However, you heard also about the money available that's in the governor's budget from the Suicide Prevention Council, and it would seem to us that a way to target those funds to get these trainings up and going would certainly to be target areas where suicide issues are more prevalent, but hopefully not at the exclusion of other places as well. So we'd have to look at the funds and how they get distributed. But obviously where there's a greater need, you need to get funds out to begin addressing those if those funds are available.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Egan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This legislation requires the districts and the department to provide the training, so I guess it's up to the individual school boards to make it mandatory in the districts, in the individual districts?
Through the chair, Senator Egan, the way that we read the bill is that the districts would be required to implement that based on a list of trainings that would be approved by the commissioner. So obviously if we built a training, we would approve that one, but we would also do a thorough review of the ones from the Jason Foundation, Cognito, which has been mentioned, and others that people could submit, and we'd probably have an approved list, but then the district would be required to ensure implementation.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the Senator Thomas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What do you anticipate, regardless of the status of this bill, as far as the importance of this situation, the implementation of some program to intervene in what's taking place?
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, regardless of the bill, there's going to be some action if the governor's budget is passed with the money from for the statewide suicide prevention council, because there is an interest among the students in the state. The state board has heard that interest directly from students about piloting this program called Cognito and seeing if that would work in the state. That is a suicide prevention tool. So if the governor's budget passes with that in it as proposed, that would move forward regardless. And then there's also the grants in that budget that could be included for many grants to districts to support continued work. This bill makes sure the mandate or the requirement is in place, but the training pieces, absent this bill and this fiscal note, there's going to be some training available regardless.
And the timing, yes. You're expecting by next school season, starting in September or something, that will be available in one form or another in here.
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, I would believe through the money in the statewide suicide prevention council funds, that would be in fact true, yes. And if this bill passes, I believe that within about that time frame or shortly thereafter, if the fiscal note is passed with it, we'd have our training also available.
Thank you.
We have no further questions at this time. Deputy Commissioner, thank you for coming in, and we would like to ask Senator Davis's intern to come up here, please, if she could. She's on the sign-up sheet. She has volunteered to salvage her boss's bill from the grips of the Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Katya Wassily, and I'm an intern to Senator Betty Davis. I'll be brief today, but I want to reiterate what I spoke about when this bill was in the Education Committee and talk about how it will particularly impact rural Alaska. Having grown up in many different areas of rural Alaska along western Alaska from Dillingham area all the way up to Barrow and been a student in the schools in those districts, I have experienced suicide in my life on many different levels. I have a cousin who committed suicide, a cousin that I grew up with in Pilot Station, Alaska. And I have many acquaintances and friends that I know, I can't even count how many, who've attempted suicide and who've told me that they've thought about suicide. So I know that this is a serious, serious problem in rural Alaska. And there's no question in my mind that this bill is absolutely necessary, because I think that particularly in rural Alaska, teachers have a really close connection to their students because they are members of the small community as well. They participate in activities within the community. They are the students' coaches in both athletic and academic programs after school. They see their students in settings outside the classroom very, very often on weekends and the evenings. They visit their students, and I know this personally because both my parents were teachers. My stepdad is still a teacher in White Mountain, Alaska, and we have his students, my classmates, over in our house in the evenings, and and we know when something is wrong in their lives. So I want to speak to that. I also want to emphasize that this bill is of particular importance because it could be a matter of life and death for youth of Alaska, as suicide affects youth the most. And youth have potential for so much in their future. So I really want you guys to consider that.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Olson.
I could just ask Ms. Wassily a question.
Sure, go ahead.
Ms. Wassily, obviously suicide is one of those detrimental things that has touched many communities and many families within those communities. As we look at this bill, though, it's concentrating on the students that are there, the students in the school district and the personnel that actually come from the outside. That training will leave when that teacher leaves. And as you look at why students commit suicides, many times it's because somebody older has done that. The last two suicides that happened in the White Mountain Gullivan area have actually been older people. The last one last year was 50 years old. The one before that up in White Mountain was 70 years old. How do you see that to stem the tide, if you stop the older, the people that are outside of the school's sphere of influence, how do you see that? Where do you see emphasis should be with, as opposed to concentrating just on the school-age people who are more copycatting and watching other people like elders that have committed suicide?
I think in a lot of villages, this school is a really central location for the community. People have gatherings there. And I think if there's more awareness at the level of the school, then it'll be spread out throughout the community. I think if teachers become more aware of the causes maybe behind suicide or the signs of suicide, that information could be communicated throughout the community. And maybe students as well could become more aware of those indicators and be able to tell when other members of the community are having issues and be able to act and do something about it. And that's really the only answer that I have to your question. This is such a big issue.
Thank you. We have any final comments from the bill sponsor before we set the bill aside for further review?
No, I just want to thank you for hearing the bill and hope that you'll take fast action and bring it back.
Okay. Thank you. Continuing on with the Senator Betty Davis's day, we have Senate Concurrence Resolution, number 2 by Senator Davis regarding uniform rules for the presiding officer pro tem. This is the first hearing on this resolution. The intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the resolution, take public testimony, and set it aside for further review. And with us today is Senator Davis.
Thank you again. Once again, I'm Senator Betty Davis from Anchorage, representing East Anchorage. This particular resolution that's before you has been heard in other committees and is now here in finance. I don't know if it would actually have a note, but I know you need to look at what's here. The purpose of this bill is to add to our leadership on the House and the Senate side a position known as pro tem. Most all states have that position. Our particular state don't. So it would be left up to the leadership, though, to decide exactly how they would use the pro tem position. It doesn't say that you have to delete any of the positions that we already have or that you have to go about a certain guideline. It would be left up to the speaker at the present time or the president of the Senate at the present time to decide how this person would be utilized. But what I do know is I look at the information that we have, that this has allowed many people coming into the legislature be able to move into a leadership role because of this position. Not just for females, because many of these positions are also held by males. We do have an overview of it, and I'll let Senator Mr. Obermeyer give you that.
Mr. Obermeyer.
For the record, Tom Obermeyer, staff to Senator Davis. What you have before you is a committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate bill. Senate resolution number 2, concurrent resolution number 2. This proposes amendments to the uniform rules of the state legislature relating to presiding officer pro tem. And I will note before I begin that the drafter of this bill was the head of the Ledge Legal Services, Doug Gardner, and he may be on the line to answer questions. The purpose of Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 2 is to amend the uniform rules to increase the duties and responsibilities of temporary presiding officers and to allow more legislators to function in leadership positions. SCR 2 creates a permanent third position in leadership for temporary presiding officers who heretofore only presided over the first floor session of a legislature until the chambers were organized and the permanent or regular presiding officers were seated. Sections 1 through 3 change the nomenclature and titles to be consistent throughout the uniform rules. Section 4 amends Uniform Rule 4, establishing that in the absence of both the regular presiding officer, Speaker of the, House, and the absence of the majority leader, presiding officer pro tem, previously elected in Uniform Rule 1B, serves as a presiding officer pro tem. The result of the language amending Section 4 of SCR 2 is that the presiding officer pro tem elected at the start of the first session of the legislature, in addition to the presiding officer pro tem's duties set out in Rule 1B, will continue for both sessions to serve as a backup in the absence of the regular presiding officer and the majority leader. Presiding officers pro tem may also be assigned other duties consistent with uniform rules. As presently provided in Rule 4, the regular presiding officers, majority leaders, and now presiding officers pro tem may relinquish the chair to any member. So what we're essentially setting up here is a titled position. It may or may not be used as needed, but it does provide leadership and recognition of another individual in the legislature. It's followed, as you note, in many of your backup documents in other states, which do assign many more duties than we do in this state to that position. And there's no fiscal note, as I think you'll find, on this bill at this time.
All right. Do we have any initial comments from the committee members? Seeing none, there's one updated zero fiscal note from the Senate Finance Committee, and we'll have to check to see if it's invisible ink or something. Might be something in there, Senator Davis. Okay, we have nobody signed up online. The entire three rows of benches are empty in the room here. So obviously we have nobody in the room to testify. So we'll come back to the committee. Do we have any questions? Any final comments by the bill sponsor on the secret fiscal note written in invisible ink?
Once again, I thank you for bringing this bill forward. I don't think there's many public testimonies pertaining to this, because this is something that really pertains strictly to the 60 of the legislators. And I don't think we'll end up with a zero fiscal note, but I'm willing for you to check it out to see if there's an invisible language there.
Okay.
Oh, you move forward.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. We'll go ahead and set this bill aside for further review. That concludes the meeting for today. Our next meeting is tomorrow, January 31st, 9 a.m. Three bills on the agenda: Senate Bill 70, Alaska Health Benefit Exchange, followed by Senate Bill 13, Waive Park Fee for Disabled Veterans, Senate Bill 62, Civil Legal Services Fund. That concludes the meeting today. We are adjourned.